rebellious house. Has everybody found Ezekiel 2? Love you. I want you to know I love you. I want you to know this, if I don't get nothing else across. If I sugarcoat it and tell you a lie, the blood will be on my hand. I've got to tell the truth. I've got to read the best of my ability what God's Word says, whether they like it or whether they don't. We may just do a lot of reading today, I don't know, but be according to how the Spirit of God moves. But if you're lost, get saved. I'm going to tell you something. You think the devil's loving you, and you think these people are loving you that's telling you lies. You think you can sit at the house, amen, and justify yourself. You think you can say you're all right, and that makes it all right. That don't make it all right. Bible says we can believe a lie and be damned. So we need to know the truth. And the truth will set you free. And I praise God for the old preachers that preached to me from the time I was a little boy. Amen. Till I got saved. I thank God for them that went on after I got saved. But I thank God for them that didn't pat me on the back and tell me I was all right where I was at. This thing's serious today. I'm going to go to the second chapter, but the first verse in first chapter of Ezekiel said, "Now it come to pass on the 13th year, in the fourth month of the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river of Shabar, that the heavens were opened, and I saw a vision from God." We'll jump to the second chapter. But Ezekiel saw a vision from God, and the Bible said that he was by the river Shabar, and Shabar is down in Babylon, and he said 13 years there in that first verse. He said 13 years and so many months that he'd been down there in captivity. And Shabar is maybe a little inlet or a little river that kind of runs, joins together maybe the Euphrates and the Tigris River. So we know by that it was right above Babylon. So what we want you to know today, if you think you're in bondage, if you think you've been bound down and you've been shut off and think that you can't hear from God and think that God don't work like He used to, I want us to look back at Ezekiel. And my friend, they've been taken captive out of Jerusalem there for 13 years, and there they were down in Babylon. And God still spoke to Ezekiel, and He told him there in the second chapter, and He said unto me, "Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee." And let me go to the second verse. "And the Spirit entered into me when He spake unto me, and set me up on my feet, and I heard Him that spake to me." So I thought about, as if you think you're in bondage by health, and you think you're in bondage by bills and troubles in your family, and I thought about it, Terry, sometimes, and we've kind of been there. We think about we're in bondage to our family, we're in bondage with the things, and we even get to doubting and wondering, why am I in bondage? Why is this happening to me? And we get discouraged and out of heart, and sometimes we even want to throw in the towel. But we need to, if we keep reading the Word of God, we see where Ezekiel had to be a little bit discouraged. There's nobody in bondage that's real happy. You can't help but think about, I wish this was a little bit better, and we can let it eat us up, or we can get up on our feet. We can invite the Spirit of God into us. And that's what he said Ezekiel did there. And he said the Lord told him to stand up. Amen. And he heard the voice of the Lord. He heard what the Lord wanted him to do. And I thought maybe he was sitting down and maybe he was discouraged as America is today. And I thought about how Corona has discouraged people. How Corona has brought in division among the people, and how Corona has brought in hard feelings, and people that used to love one another and touch one another. other. Amen. They're running to and fro in every direction. We're not settled, glory to God, in what church we need to go to. We're not settled in what God wants us to do. I'm going to tell you, honey, we need to listen to the Spirit of God as all Ezekiel does. And there's a work, amen, for each and every one of us to do. Mine and yours will be a little bit different probably. But there's a work for us to do. There's somebody you can talk to that I could not get close to. There's somebody that'll listen to you that won't listen to me. Some of you young people, they think I'm an old fogey, amen, and have always been a Christian. They won't even listen to my testimony. But they might listen to your testimony if you'll tell them, don't go the drug route. Don't go the adultery or fornication route. Don't go the sinful route. There's destruction down at the end of the road. And we think because the lights are out and we're in a private place that nobody sees us. I'm going to tell you, my God has an all-seeing eye. He's searching out the avenues of our heart. He knows exactly where we're at. Glory to God, and He'll convict our heart. Can I tell you something? That for our sins, we know them. Our sins are pointed out by the preached Word of God. Our sins are pointed out by the directions and the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God by our teachers. Amen. Glory to God. Our school teachers need to be slipping in a word every now and then about Jesus and spread it out just as far as you can. We've been shut down in bondage. We've been asked to stay out of church. We've been asked to not fellowship and to touch one another. Satan has tried to separate us, and we have listened to it. I'm glad that God is bringing us back together. If we'll only listen to the Holy Spirit of God. And I'm glad that He'll set up camp in our mortal life. I was down at the altar praying yesterday evening, and I thought, God, I need more of You today than I've ever needed You. A communion in the Holy Spirit and bringing to remembrance of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ is just around the corner. A washing of the feet of my brothers and my sisters. And I've watched people all over the years. 53 years, I'm not the judge. But they'll say, I just can't come to communion because I'm not really right with the Lord. Can I tell you something today? If you die today and you can't do communion because you're not right with God, hell will be your home. God gave us a space to repent. Amen. God has given us since last June to get ready for this communion and this foot washing that we can be right with the Lord. And I believe, glory to God, I thought about Ezekiel sitting down there 13 years in bondage in Babylon. You know, that wasn't what he wanted. That wasn't the happiness of his life. You know, that wasn't exactly how he had life planned. But it took 13 years for God to get it all together the way he wanted Ezekiel. And then he said the Holy Spirit entered into him. Amen. And he got up off his seat or off of the ground, wherever he's at. And he stood up and invited the Holy Spirit of God in him. I'm going to tell you, the Holy Spirit of God was just as real back in those days as it is today, honey. And Ezekiel listened to that thing, and he began to turn an ear towards heaven to hear what God had to say. And I'm going to read to you some of what God had to say to Ezekiel. He had to set him in order. He had to put Ezekiel in order. And I'm going to tell you something. We don't just jump up and go out and preach the gospel just to anybody and to anywhere we want to go. We better know that we're led by the Spirit of God. And that's the only way that we'll be able to handle it. And he said there in that second verse, and the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me, and he set me upon my feet that I heard him. And he spake unto me, and he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me even unto this very day. I thought about, glory to God, I need to eat this up. I need to eat this up, what God told Ezekiel there. He said they were a rebellious nation. And can I tell you why America is heading in the condition that they're in today? We've become a rebellious nation. And I know some of you is raised just like me as a rebellious child. Amen. And, I've even slipped out the windows when I'd go to bed early. I'd slip out the windows at 12 and 13. 18 years old and go do what I wanted to do. So we understand rebellion. And I thought about we raised in a rebellious nation, and it's got worse and worse and worse over the years. Our children are rebellious to parents. Our children are rebellious to the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. And he said here the whole nation was rebellious. Who was he talking to? His own chosen people, amen, the children of Israel. And he sent Ezekiel to preach to them, and he said, it's a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed. We have transgressed against the word of God. And I thought, I was reading a little story there about a rainbow and how pretty a rainbow is, and how these gays have come out and put the rainbow up, making mockery of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you, glory to God, if they was a gay, amen, if they'll get saved, they won't be gay no more. We don't need gays sitting in our church and saying and believing that they're saved, glory to God, no more than we need a drunk every Sunday sitting in our church and somebody telling him he's all right with God. We need to preach the word to him, but we need to tell him he's still lost and undone without God. Too many times today, we're living in fornication, we're living in adultery, and somebody passed by and said, you're all right because you got saved. I'm going to tell you, Ezekiel couldn't go do that, amen, because the hand of God was upon him. Because I think you're all right don't make a difference, honey. It's how you stand between you and God. We told her, buddy, we'd have missed it there Friday night. I can't save you, and I don't have to know if you're saved. But you better know that you're saved, glory to God. Without a shadow of a doubt, and this ain't Baptist doctrine, but you better know without a shadow of a doubt that you've been born again, and you're still in the will of God. Hell is an awful, awful place to go, and I don't have nobody that I want to see there. I don't have nobody that I could wish hell on, no matter how we've been treated. I don't have nobody that I would want to go to an awful place like hell, because God put love in our heart. And he went on to say in the fourth verse, and they are impudent children, impotent children, however you want to say it. They're stiff-hearted and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and they shall say unto them, thus saith the Lord God. And that's what he told him to say. And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear or just turn it away, for they are a rebellious house, ye shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. That's the fifth verse of the second chapter of Ezekiel. I'm going to tell you something today, honey. I've been so discouraged that I thought, what's the use to go preach another message? Honey, glory to God, we need people to know there's been a prophet among them. Amen. Whether they hear it or whether they forbear it or whether they turn it away or not. And you youngins go and you knock on the door, whether they accept you or not, don't make a lot of difference. Honey, you have done your work. Amen. The blood is off of your hand. You've come to tell them about Jesus. The life that you live, amen, glory to God, is setting an example to a lost and dying world. Your everyday work at school or your work on the job or wherever your place might be. Honey, sitting in the cafe or wherever you're at. I've seen some Christians act so awful over a burnt piece of bread or a hamburger that don't make no difference, honey. We need to be a bright and shining light, glory to God. Amen. And walk where God would have us to walk. This thing is serious. My walk for God is serious today. It ain't what I wanted. It ain't who I am. It's about my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He needs to be lifted up. He needs to be glorified. And whether you hear it this morning or not, I want you to know something. A prophet of God has been amongst you. I want you to know that the Holy Spirit of God has come against you. And the Holy Spirit of God has spoke to you and come against your sins. I want you to know that sin can't enter into the kingdom of God. Because you're a Baptist, Methodist, or a Pentecostal holiness, I don't mean you're going to heaven, honey. It don't matter if Grandpa built the church or sent us $1 million. Honey, your name must be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Glory to God. We got to stand for our own. I just read it, amen, over there in Ezekiel someplace, and he said, hey, amen, because he said, Noah, amen, and he said, Daniel, And Job, he said, all they can stand for is their self. Great men of God, amen. But they can't change you, and they can't change you. Amen. All they can do is stand for their self. So don't get discouraged if we don't see things happening like we'd like to see them happen. Or let us know without a shadow of a doubt in our heart that a prophet has been amongst us. That the Spirit of God has moved upon the scene. I'd like to say to my old buddy sitting there watching this morning in Mount Airy, not able to go, amen, Don McKinney, we love you, brother. I just keep praying. There's somebody praying for it. What I'm talking about, sometimes you look at a frowning face and you think about throwing in the towel. But look past that frowning face. Have a vision. The Bible said, without a vision, men perish. They're listening to us somewhere. Somebody's getting the message. Somebody's revealed to them that we are living in a rebellious nation. We're living in a rebellious house. Terry, ain't it awful? It's pure torment to live in a rebellious house. And how many husbands have been rebellious when their wife wanted to go to church? And how many wives, amen, after a husband got saved, got rebellious, amen, and kept them out of the house of God? They missed it this morning. Honey, one said I'd go if he wouldn't, and she backs out and he decides he wants to. Bless God, we need to go to the house of God. Wife or no wife, husband or no husband, children or not, glory to God, we need to serve God. We need to be in the house of God. We need to keep the church door open. Satan will shut it. He'll close us down. He'll wipe us out. He'll separate us if he can. But let's don't give him that power. And he said in the fifth verse, and they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. Sixth verse. And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns be with thee, and thou shalt dwell among scorpions. Be not afraid of their words, nor by dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. I think it's so funny. I think it's so pitiful. When one has been born again and then they think they can shut you down by their looks. You can tell when you don't like it. You can tell when it don't fit you. You can tell when you're not receiving it. But why do you think you can shut down the power of God? God sent a message to somebody this morning. God sent a message through Larry. God sent a message through Butch. God sent another message this morning. God sent a message in the back by our young people that I didn't get to hear. But God sent the message. Too many times we want to fix things. We want to change it. Little parts we want to fix. Larry brought out a great message on bitterness. You think he brought it out in vain? A bitterness in our heart. You know what we've done? They said it was them that done it. It was them. It wasn't me. We shucked it off. We shucked it off. Seventh verse, and thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will not forbear, for they are most rebellious. Most rebellious. I'm bumping 80. Amen. And I've never seen as rebellious a generation of people as there is today. I've never seen people will stop you along the street and tell you about problems in their church. The thief cometh not but to kill, steal, and to destroy. And Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundant. So Satan is fighting. I thought, Lauren Dale, I'm so proud of you all. There's a battle hit at your all's house that most of us don't understand. And it could have imprisoned you, and you could have sat down in self-pity and quit. But you want the light of Jesus to shine through you and through somebody else. That I'm a soldier through death. I got up, and I'm going on. I can't go back and change it, but I can make the rest of my life different. I believe that's what the Lord wants out of us today. Even though Ezekiel was in bondage, he began to really listen to the Lord. And I thought about maybe I need to be in bondage a little more before I really listen to the Lord. And maybe I don't need two cars and all my tanks full and a full belly. Maybe I need to be in bondage for a little while. The Bible said he was down there at the river Shabar. Amen. And the Spirit of the Lord come on him. And it come in him. Amen. And he got up. You know why I want to shout once in a while? The Spirit of God comes in him. Amen. God revealed how good he's been to him. God revealed something I am going to do for you. I believe much as I'm here today that God showed me some things this week, amen, that's happening. I believe there's some in our church that's got hooked up on pornography. I believe this thing is eating away at their soul and their heart. And you know what that does? It brings bitterness in between brother and sister. It brings bitterness and hard-hearted. It brings a rebellious house and they stop listening. You know when my son would get mad at me? And he said, how do you know? And I said, a little bird told me. He said, how do you know I was drinking last night? A little bird told me. I know you was drinking. Make him so mad he could die. Amen. It makes mad when your sins are revealed. Amen. You know why you get an adamant face and a stone face and a frown? It's when our sins are revealed. When we begin to be pointed out. When we realize that we're not what we think we are, amen, we're still under the blood. But thou, son of man, I want you to get this eighth verse. And is there any doubt in anybody's mind that old Ezekiel was a man of God? He said in the eighth verse, but thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. The Bible said to all the seven churches of Asia Minor, he said, hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Here in Ezekiel, God said, I say unto thee, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee. What's he telling us today? Eat the Word of God. Take in the Word of God. We can read on there, and it says, and maybe in the third chapter, but it says it's sweet as honey. The Word of God, sometimes it's bitter going down, but when we really eat the Word of God, it's sweet as honey. That's what the Bible said. But here, he told Ezekiel, he said, don't be rebellious like them. Go on and preach the Word. So he seen that Ezekiel was just man, and Ezekiel was going to need just a little extra. So I'm going to tell you, if God sends you, young'uns, listen to me. If God sends you, He'll give you the extra you need. God will give you something to take care of you. He told him up there, he said, even though you're in briars and all these things and scorpions among you, he said, I'll take care of you. So the Lord said He'd go with us all the way, even until the end. And he said in the ninth verse, and when I looked, and behold, a hand was set upon me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein. And he spread it before me, and it was written within and without, and there was writing therein lamentations and mournings and woes. Amen. So the Word of God got some woes in it. There's one book, and I love to preach it over there, I believe it's in Psalms or Proverbs, I forgot now. But woe, there's woes in it. Things that you can't do. Things that'll stop you along the way. Let's just go on and read God's Word. Amen. In the third chapter. And he said, moreover, he said unto me, son of man, eat thou that findest the roll and to speak unto the house of Israel. I opened my mouth and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, what did Ezekiel do? He opened his mouth and eat the Word of God. Amen. I felt some kickback just this morning as Larry said. There's bitterness. I felt like somebody said, what does he know? What does he know? How can he tell me there's bitterness? Well, because God told him to. That's how we do it. Son of man, cause thy belly to eat and fill the bowels of the roll that I give thee. Then did I eat, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. And he said unto me, son of man, go into the house of Israel and speak with my words unto them. For thou, listen to what this said, for thou art not sent unto a people of a strange speech, of an hard language, but to the house of Israel. Not too many people of a strange speech, And I am a hard language, and of an hard language, whose words thou canst not understand. Surely had I sent thee to them, they would have hearkened unto thee. So I thought about, man, I looked at this, and I thought with a few mission trips that we've been on, to a language that didn't understand language, and I'd preach with an interpreter. And they'd sit there with their mouth open, just gasping for a little bit of God's holy word. Just a little bit of a preaching from America. Just a little bit from a different language. And here we sit in America, every one of us speak English, mine mountain and broken. Amen. But we understand what each other is saying. I understand. I still say I ain't. And I'm going to say I ain't right with God if they sin in my life. But we understand each other. He said the foreign language, they would probably listen. They would eat it up. That's why we send missionaries, because God said to. But here we sit in America and we've let the Word of God go by. We've shut out the Word of God. We've closed the book on the Word of God. When God said, open our mouth and I'll fill you, amen, we shut our mouth. We said, I'd rather be in bitterness. I'd rather be in hatefulness. I'd rather be in a different place. I'd rather play games than to serve God. I'm going to take a chance with my soul and fool around and maybe get saved the last minute. And Satan will say, that's the thing for you to do. Honey, your last minute could be now. If you're lost, young person, today is the day of salvation. We need Jesus. He said, but the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee. Listen to what he said in the seventh verse of the third chapter. He said, the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee, for they will not hearken unto me. For all the house of Israel are impotent and hard-hearted. They're unwise. Why? They've got hooked up on the law and they're not going to listen. They've got hooked up on other things and other sacrifices. They've got hooked up on adultery. They got hooked up on idols and things of this world. They even went out and built them out in the groves, and they built worship places in the groves and worshiped foreign gods. And we can read in the Bible where they set up images that held out their arms like this, and they'd lay their baby in that hot image and burn their baby up and sacrifice it to false gods. We can read it in the book of where Ezekiel, amen, when Elijah went up on the mountain to pray, amen, and he said, call on your false gods. And the 400 prophets of Baal come and couldn't lick up the water. The 400 prophets of Baal couldn't do anything. And old Elijah went out there and prayed, and the fire from God came down. The fire from God came down. Can I tell you, it behooves us today to be a child of God. It behooves us today to be with the power of God. It behooves us when God speaks to us, amen, I don't let the Spirit of God move in and get up on our feet and go do what God would have us to do. He said, behold, I have made thy face strong against their face, and their forehead strong against their, and thy forehead strong against their forehead, as an adamant, an adamant harder than flint. You know, around here, an old flint is harder than anything we know, but he said, an adamant harder than flint. It's unyielding. It don't back down. I'm going to tell you what us preachers need. We need some hard heads. We need to quit letting, amen, our vacations, we need to quit letting our feelings and what people think about us, amen. We got a bad text. Let me just tell it to you. The money that we received, one of the daughters sent out a text and said, you preachers ain't worthy of that. I had nothing to do with that. I wasn't worthy of the money that come. I had nothing to do with it. He didn't send it to me. He sent it to the church. That showed me why she didn't get no more. Maybe she's listening. But it's to knock you. And I couldn't get it off of my mind. And I'm not worthy. Wasn't even sent to me.